Bible, it is the word of truth. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can. I'm a believer and not a doubter. I'm a doer, not just a hearer. I am humble before the Lord. I'm obedient to the Lord. I am mature in the Lord. I'm enthusiastic about the Lord. I know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 10, New Living Translation, you'll find these words. The Bible says, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you." Somebody say, "I am with you." He says, "For I am with you. Don't be discouraged." Somebody say, "Don't be discouraged." "For I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." Somebody say, "God got you." He's holding you up in his hand, not by your strength or your might, but it's in. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You may be seated. Well, this today, let me begin by saying a very special thanks to the ministers that have stood in the gap these last several weeks, Minister Latham, Minister Lindsay, Minister Walethia Thompson, and Minister Robert Daniels. And I want to thank them for faithfully doing what God has called them to do and blessing us with tremendous messages of hope and encouragement. And so with that, I would just like to say thank you. Now today, we're going to begin a short series that I just simply entitled, "God Got You." Somebody say that, "God got you." You know, now the overarching message of this series is that God is with you as you navigate your way through the ups and downs of life. In every phase of your journey, during the times of struggle, the times of victory, the times of waiting. No matter where you find yourself, God got you. His presence and his power ensures that no matter what you face in life, he got you. He got you in the good times. He got you in the bad times. And he got you in all the times in between. And so we're going to try to examine that today and be encouraged from his word. Amen. In the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9, very familiar passage the Bible says, well, we can learn from the words the Lord spoke to Joshua as he was preparing to lead the people into the promised land, a land of uncertainty. Somebody say uncertainty. You know, life is full of uncertainties. There's some things that we just don't know about that's going to happen, but because we go through some uncertain times, God is still with us. So he was going into a land of uncertainty, filled with all types of dangers and obstacles and troubles. But the Lord assured him that if he followed these instructions, he would be successful and that he would be with him wherever he went. Somebody say, "Wherever." Wherever you go, God is with you. Whatever situation you're in, God is with you. And look what he told him. He was giving him some encouragement by saying in verse 6, "Be strong and courageous." Sometime in life when you meet challenges, you just got to be and courageous. You got to have the courage and the strength to deal with what God is allowing to happen. Even if it's the enemy attacking you, you're going to still need to be strong and encouraged. Joshua was going to face some powerful enemies as he was going into the promised land, but God was telling him, "Be strong and courageous. For you are the one who will lead these people to possess the land I swore to their ancestors, that I would give them. In other words, God made a promise to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob that one day that they would possess the land. Now it's time for Joshua to go in as God fulfilled his promise. And Joshua is going to be leading some folk that may not agree with him, that may come against him. But God told him, you still need to be and courageous. Because sometimes you may have to put some of them in check. But you still need to be strong and courageous. Even when you face an enemy, Joshua, that outnumber you, you still need to be strong and courageous. Now look what it says. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey. Somebody say to obey. To obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Well, we have an instruction manual right here. Amen. If you got it on your phone, just hold your phone up. If you got it in your hand, just hold it up. So he's telling you that your life is contingent upon you obeying what's in your hand. And if you want to be successful, you got to obey what's in your hand. And you got to get what's in your hand in your... So that when situations come up in your life, what's in your hand will come out of your... Y'all better hear me today. Talk back to me. I came to hear what you got to say today. He says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Look what he says. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or the left. There are people out there who are deviating from this word today, going right and left, and they're following other things. Doing that, you're guaranteeing to yourself that you will not be successful in God's eyes. Because God tells us not to, y'all help me today, not to deviate. Don't run off on another course. Don't start chasing after something else. Don't deviate. Stick to the instruction that I left you. There are other things that are going to come in your life. People are going to come at you with all kinds of stuff. But don't deviate. Don't let nobody talk you out what God has put in your hand and in your heart. Don't deviate. The internet is full of people out there causing believers to deviate. Deviate from what the Lord has told them. He says, do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Joshua, you're going to be able to take all the land that you need, but you can't deviate from the instruction that I give you. You know, one time they deviated a little bit and they got whooped by a little old nation called Ai. Joshua came back crying to God, and God said, look here, you got sin in the camp. You got to do something about what you got in the camp, but then I can give you the victory, but you can't deviate. If you want to be successful in life, you're going to have to do some things without deviating from the word of God. Amen. You're going to have to trust it when it don't make sense to you. Because if you allow your own thinking to get in the way, you will, y'all fill in the blanks. I told you, you got to talk to me today. This is not hard. I'm trying to put it so low that the goats can get it off the trees. I'm just trying to bring it down so that you can understand and leave here knowing what the word of God say today. Amen. 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 Now look at this. He tells us some things that we need to do. And this is where you got a part to play. He says, now, study this book. Study this book. Not just come to church on Sunday, but study this book. We have Bible study every week. And the folks who follow that instruction are very few. Now, you may be studying on your own, and I hope you are. But the Bible says you got to. If you don't study this book, you won't know what's in this book. If you don't study this book, you won't know how to tell when someone is twisting what's in this book and deviating from the truth to get you to follow a lie. You got to. I know people don't like to study. Study takes time. You have to go line by line and read all the little words that we overlook on Sunday, but sometime on Wednesday and during your time of study, you got to slow down and study. He says, study this book of instructions carefully. When I played football, you know, every year the rules change. And on purpose, we had to take a week just to study all the rules of football. Because people change the rules. And if you go out there and don't know what the new rules are, you're going to be in violation of a rule and get an infraction. When you live your life without knowing what the rule books say, you're going to end up with some infraction. You will get penalized on some things that you should not be penalized on, all because you just don't know what the rule books say. I don't know how we can call ourselves a Christian if we don't have a rule. Everybody ought to have a rule. Oh, God, y'all ain't gonna help me today. I ain't beating you up if you don't have one, but if you came here without one, we got some we'll give you. You need a rule book. Amen. You need a compass. You need a guide. You need something that will enlighten you to how God thinks and how he wants you to act. So he says, study this book of instruction continually. Then he says, you got to meditate. Somebody say meditate. You got to think on this thing, not just casually, but you got to deeply think about what's in this book so that you can get it in your heart. He says, meditate on it day and so you will be sure to obey everything that's written in it. If, until you start thinking about this deeply in your heart, you ain't going to do what it say. God. Look what he says. He says, obey everything written in it. Not just the things we like. But we got to obey some things we don't. He says, now look at this. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Somebody say, all you do. See, we always want to be successful. We want to prosper. We want all the good things that come from God. But at the same time, you got to follow it in. Because you can get good things the wrong way and they won't be a blessing to you. So therefore, you got to do things God's way so the blessing that you get from God will be yours to keep and they will bless you and not hinder you from doing what God called you to do. So God wants us to succeed. Amen. God wants you to succeed on your jobs. He wants you to succeed in your family. He wants you to succeed in all your affairs. God don't get no pleasure out you failing. But what you can't do is look for him to help you to succeed when you won't follow the end. Look what he says in verse 9. This is my command. He come back and repeat himself. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, because your enemies are vast. They're big. They're a lot of armies. They're more powerful than you are, but I'm on your side, and that's enough. He says, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you. With you. Somebody said, with you. Wherever you go. You got to have that mindset that wherever you find yourself, God is. Whatever situation come in your life, you got to believe that God is. And if God is with you, he's more than the world. Familiar passage of scripture, Psalms 23. We were brought up on this. We cut our teeth on this coming up in school. But today we don't teach our kids this psalm. This is a powerful song. I just want to share it with y'all. And you know, this is a personal song. So when you read this one, you can't be thinking about nobody but you. Amen. See, this is one of King David's most popular and powerful psalms. He used the images of a good shepherd and a gracious host metaphorically to reflect of the many benefits that God had given him, even in the midst of the dangers he faced in life. And he concluded that God's persistent love and mercy would be with him all the days of his life. And he vows as long as he lived, you know, he wanted to be and dwell in the house of the Lord. In other words, he was committed to living in God's presence. And so as we look at this, now y'all got to take this personal. Not for your husband, your wife, your friends, your cousin, or your neighbor next door. This is a personal psalm. The one we're going to read in the end is a communal psalm where the whole church was saying it. But right here, he's talking to us So now look here. Can we just, y'all got your tool book with you, your rule book with you? Can everybody pull this up? I know I may be reading from, you know, I'm reading the New King James, but let's kind of look at this because, you know, you're going to see the word my and me in here a whole lot. I, my, me. Talking about you. You ain't reading this for nobody else. This is for you. Amen? So let's look at this. Y'all, if y'all repeat after me, I'll get through this in a hurry. But y'all drag, then I'll stay here for a while. Because you can preach a week on this. Amen. I mean, there's enough in here to stay a week. I know, but I won't keep you here that long. But y'all just indulge me for a few minutes. Is that all right? Now look at this, what he says in Psalms 23. He says, the Lord is what? Not my neighbors. He may be. But today is all about me. He said, the Lord is. And because the Lord is my shepherd, what? My needs gonna be met. The shepherd that is looking out for me has the ability to meet my needs. I may not get everything that I want in this life, but everything I need, he's gonna provide. Because the Lord is. Y'all say out loud. You know, when I was taught, when you say I, you know, you add force to what you're saying. You put yourself in that thing. Sometimes when you write a letter to people and you say, I said this. Ain't nothing wrong with making this about you right now. You know, I know we're talking, I don't want to be no I person, but right now David was an I person. Because David had all kinds of stuff going on in his life and he needed a good shepherd to look out for him. David said, I shall not want. He makes
me.
Who?
Me.
Not my neighbor, but
me.
Lie down in green pastures. In other words, he take me to eat in a place where the grass is green, where it's lush, where not some dried up land. I'm a sheep. I don't like to eat dried up stuff. I like to eat green stuff. I want the grass to be. And he take me to a place where the grass is green because I need to be nourished. And the place that we get nourished at is right here. You got to see this in your green pastures. When you need to be fed from the Lord, you need to come right here and eat out of this book. Stop eating out of everybody else's opinion and everybody else's book. You need to eat out of. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads who?
Me.
Besides the still waters. In other words, he understands my makeup. He understands I don't like troubled water. That when I'm around troubled waters, I get fearful. And I'm because I got all this wool on me, I have a tendency if I slip off it, now I could drown. So therefore, he take me around waters that are peaceful and calm so that I don't have to get nervous when things come into my life because he's bringing me into the right path. Y'all better hear me today. Leave me besides. If your life is filled up with troubled waters all the time, it's a good possibility you're following the wrong shepherd. Because he want to lead you still waters. He didn't say trouble wasn't going to come in your life. But he said that, look here, he want to lead you to. He restores what?
My soul.
Whose soul?
My soul.
He restores my soul. Restoration has to do with going back to a place that you were. In other words, sometimes sheep run off from the course, but when they make an error, God has the ability to restore them, bring them back to their original state, the original places they're supposed to be. Anybody ever seen someone restore a car? You know, you got that old 1964 Chevy that you really love, and you take it to a shop and say, I want you to bring this back to its original state. That when I come back and pick it up, I want it to look like it looked when it was new. Even though it's 50 years old. It's been all rusty and doing all kinds of stuff for 50 years, but now I want to bring it back to its original state. Some of us have been out there rusting up for 20 years, doing some things that go contrary to the word because we're not following the instruction book. But he said, look, when you come to me, I can bring you back to your original place and your soul will find peace with me because I can rest. He leads me in the path of what? Say it like you mean it. He leads me in the path of righteousness. In other words, he wants me to do right and act right, and he leads me on a path that's going to cause me to do just that. But why does he does that? He does that for his name is on the line based upon how you act. And so therefore, he wants you to act and lead you in a way of righteousness, because when you do, you give honor to his name. When we act in an unrighteous way, we dishonor his name and we've gotten on another path. But if we stay on the path that he lead us on, it's going to always be a path of, somebody say righteousness, like you're not scared, not afraid. I told you, y'all got to work with me today. So in verse 3, it says, he restores my, he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Verse 4, it says, yea, somebody say yea. Even though, yea, it's a good possibility that in this life, you're going to walk through some valleys. It's a good possibility you're going to have some dark days. But even in the midst of that, he's going to be with you in your dark days. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. While I'm going through it, I know who with me, so therefore I will, what? Y'all better hear me today. Y'all better work with me. Come on now. He says, now, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will. That's your personal declaration. I will. Fear no evil. Evil is going to be all around you, but he's saying, because he is with you, you should not fear. In other words, fear should not grip you to the point that you can't do what God would have you to do. Fear is a natural emotion, but fear should not paralyze you. You can't allow it to hinder you and keep you from doing what you know God has called you to. Let me read that again. Yea, though I walk through the valley, I don't stop in my problems or my troubles. See, most of y'all get in trouble and you stop doing what the instruction book say. He didn't say you had a problem just because you were going through the valley. Your problem is you got to keep walking. While you can't stop and dwell on your problem. You can't stop and meditate on the very thing that's causing you all the confusion and chaos in your life. You got to keep walking. You got to keep walking in the way that he has prescribed for you to walk. Trust in him every step of the He's not promising you that you won't have some valleys in your life. He's just telling you when you get there, keep walking. Don't hang around folk who want to dwell in the valley. Don't hang around people who want to keep you in a low place, in a depressed place. You got to hang around some people who want to lift you up, because you got a good shepherd who's leading you through those. I will fear no evil. Why? For you are what? Other way, I got you. I know where you're at. I knew you was going to be in the valley before you got there. And so therefore, because I knew it, when you got there, I was waiting on you. I just need for you to trust me while you're in the valleys of your life. You're not going to be on the mountain all the time. Every now and then, life is going to deal you something, and you're just going to have to go and deal with the valley. But most of us, we want to live on the mountain, and we're happy on the mountain. But every now and then, you're going to have to go through the valley. And when you're going through that valley, you got to be confident that he's with you. Now look, he says, for you are with me. Your rod, somebody say rod. Your rod, that's protection. A shepherd had a rod to protect the sheep from the wolves. And then he says, your staff, somebody say staff. Your staff, that's the guide. So it does two things. Got one to protect, the beat off, and the other one to give you the instruction that you need to keep walking through the valley. And look what they would do. They comfort me. In other words, when I'm in the valley, this instruction book can console me. Yeah. It can put my heart at ease. And I can have it with me at all times. Why? Because I've been meditating on it day and night. It is in my heart. Even though I left it at home while I'm going through hell, in my heart is the instruction that I need to bring me through this valley. Some of you got to get these instructions in your heart. Because this is your comfort. You find comfort in his word. And his spirit on the inside of you feeds you during the times that you are in the valley. Then now he shifts the scene to a banquet setting and start talking about a gracious host who want to invite you to his house and bless you. Because it was a common courtesy that when you go to someone's house in that time, that they were supposed to treat you a certain way. They were supposed to anoint your head and oil your feet. They were supposed to give you a refreshing experience. See, when you come to the Lord, you ought to have a refreshing experience every now and then. This shouldn't always be a dry, boring, dull relationship where you always going through and never seeing the blessing of the Lord in your life. Yes, we have challenges, but look here. We got a gracious host that want to make sure that we win even in the midst of our enemies. Y'all better hear me today. He said, now look, after he comforted, he says, you prepare a table before who?
Me.
In the presence of my?
Me.
In the presence of my haters. In the presence of the folk that don't like you. In the presence of the folk that talk about you and drag your name through. God prepare. You know he prepared a table for the folk that don't like you right in front of them so they can see him bless you. You don't need to be worrying about your haters. You got a good shepherd that is looking out for you in spite of your haters. He didn't say you wouldn't have haters. He just said, hey, look, I can bless you right in front of you. Y'all better get this. Y'all got to get the picture, man. In your mind, you got to see this. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head and I'm refreshing. You anoint my head with oil. Then you want to bless me above measure. Because now you say my. Some of y'all act like you've never experienced God's cup running over in your life. Sometimes your joy ought to just overflow. Sometimes your love ought to just overflow. Sometimes even your, oh God, I know y'all don't want to hear it, but sometimes your finances ought to overflow. There's nothing wrong with having more than you need so that you can bless somebody else with the overflow. He says, my cups run. You know, you remember the old days. I remember granddaddy, you know, back in the day before they had Yeti cups and all these other stuff y'all sip on, you know, keep yourself high. Granddaddy just had a cup and a saucer. And every now and then when he make that cup of coffee, it overflowed. He poured and he poured and he poured until it started running over the side. And you know, he stirred up, and that's where he take that cup out of the saucer and he drank the overflow. Y'all better hear me today. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Y'all too young. He, you know, he took the cup out, hold over here, because some of y'all just want, you know, y'all can't drink, you know, y'all can't deal with drinking out the saucer, but that's your overflow. You got to know how to handle your overflow. Just, oh, God. Oh, I know these young people say, what is he talking about? We don't even know what a saucer is. How do you make that work in a Yeti cup? It don't work with a Yeti cup. You need to go and get you a cup and a saucer. Teach your kids this lesson by teaching them from a cup and a saucer. Say, look, baby, mama and daddy go to work so that one day your blessing will over. When you get my age, I want you to be able to pour your coffee of life until it over. And if your cup overflow, your children will be blessed by the. Oh, God, I don't know how I got there, because I'm just telling you, he said, in the presence of my enemy, he want my cup to run over. Then he come back and say, surely, surely. You know, in the Baptist, we say, surely. You know, in the Baptist, we'll play with this for a while, faith. We wouldn't even leave this for a couple of minutes. Surely. You know, surely, we even give surely a name, like surely is a person. Like surely. I think they be talking about surely. But they say surely. Somebody say surely. Goodness and mercy. Them two sisters want to. Them two brothers. Okay. Surely goodness and mercy shall. As you're walking down the street, Wayne, you got to believe that behind you is goodness, and God's goodness and his mercy is following you. Look, sometimes just want to overtake you and just jump on you and let you know that, hey, no matter what you're going through, I love you and I'm with you and I got you because my mercy is new every. Y'all got to know what's following you, because when you know what's following you, you know how to act when you're going through the valley, because you know what's following you. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of, because those things are following me all the days of my life, I'm going to do what? Oh, not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, but I want to be in the house for, in other words, I want to be in his presence all the time. When I'm driving in my car, I want his presence to be there. When I'm at home at night, I want his presence to be there. When I'm at church, I want his presence there. When I'm on my job, I want his presence. I want to dwell in his presence all the days of my life, because if I dwell in his presence all the days of my life, I know he's going to lead me on the right path. I know he's going to have me do the things that's right in his sight, and as a result, I'll be blessed because I'm in his. You got to seek God's presence. You want to be in his presence. Psalms 34, verse 15 through 19. This Psalms talk about the happiness of those who trust in the Lord. But the Psalm is connected to David's dangerous experience, which he had with the Philistines in Gath. As he was running for his life to escape King Saul, David was at a place in his life where he had troubles and trials on every side. And David said that in his desperation, he cried out to the Lord. And the Lord listened to him and saved him out of his trouble. In this psalm, the psalmist personifies God so that you can get it in your mind what God is doing while you're going through. He says in verse 15, he says, the eyes, and everybody can relate to eyes, we see with our eyes. He says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. The eyes of the Lord is on those who he is leading on the right path. If you are walking on the right path that the good shepherd have you on, then God is looking at you and looking out for you as you walk on that path. And his ears are open to their cry. Man may not understand and may not hear your cry, but you got to believe that God is inclining his ear down to you. When I looked up this in the Hebrew kind of definition, the way it talks about as it's as if God was taking a magnifier, you know, like a megaphone put on his ear and leaning down just to hear what you got to say. Just to hear your every sigh, Brother Herb. Just to hear your every groan. God is listening for you. He's taking time to hear you. Why? Because you are the. Y'all say it. Y'all like, you know, this is a lesson now. This is like Bible study. I don't think I ever taught this slow and like this. This is like Bible study. Yeah. He said, the eyes of the Lord on who? Right. Is that you? Yeah. Are you the righteous today? Yeah. Then this scripture apply to you. Amen. He said, the eyes of the Lord are on the. God is looking out for the righteous. And if you're walking in righteousness, you ought to expect God to be looking out for you. Because he say, my eyes are on the, and his ears are open to hear their cry. In other words, every now and then, the righteous will cry out. But when they cry out, they got to believe that the Lord. You don't want to be in verse 16. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Somebody say, that ain't me. That ain't me. That ain't me. I'll say it like you mean it. That ain't me. You need to say that loud. That ain't me. I'm going to be sitting up in church on Sunday just to get cut off from remembrance. I mean, look here. You're going to live a life that when you're gone, ain't nobody going to live. We don't want God to cut us off. But we've already been told we follow the direction of the good shepherd. We don't even have to worry about verse 16. You can almost just skip that and say, that's what's up. You know, I need to read that to somebody out there who finna get cut off, who finna find themselves in destruction. I need to use that to warn them, to say, hey, look, unless you start following the right shepherd, you're leading a life of destruction. Look at verse 17. The righteous do what? In other words, the righteous go through something. Just because you're saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit don't mean you are not going to have challenges in your life. You're going to have adversaries. You're going to have anguish and time that come in your life. You're going to have affliction, distresses, tribulation, troubles, and trials. They all will come to the righteous just like they come to the wicked. But the difference is when they come to you, you got a good shepherd that's looking out. Because he says that the righteous cry out. And the Lord what? And deliver them out of all their troubles. God wanted to deliver us. He wanted to save us. He wanted to set us free from all the troubles that we face. Look here. God got you. Verse 18 says, the Lord is near. Somebody say it's near. Is near those who have a broken heart. In other words, you got to have a heart of humility and brokenness as if you recognize that you need God, and we all come to God as a sinner. And so therefore, when we have a broken and contrite heart, that let him know that we're in a position now to say, God, I'm sorry. Because every now and then we have to tell God we're sorry. Because the righteous do make mistakes. Amen. And so when we make a mistake, we tell God, I'm sorry. The Lord is near those who have a broken heart. And he saves as such as have a contrite spirit. That means when we have a repentant spirit, when we're looking for salvation, we repent and tell God we're sorry, and he has already put a plan in place to save us. Then he says this, I wish this wasn't in here for y'all righteous folks, myself included. Many. Somebody say many. Many. Somebody shout many. Many. You know, I wish he just had said a few. One every nine then. But Brother Herb, he put us on notice when he said, I think sometimes when we get saved, we get disillusioned and think that we're not going to have any more troubles. And preachers don't like to talk about many. We always want to talk about the blessing, the blessing, the blessing. That draw you. Everybody want the blessing. Nobody want the. Nobody wants the many. If you start off telling the message that, hey, you know, with this walk with Jesus, you know, many. Jesus told his disciples this way. You're going to have to take up your. Follow me. It would have been nice, Brother Herb, he had said, go pick up your crown with all the jewels in it and follow. Go get your nice coach and carriage and. Follow me. But Brother Herb, he said, you got to pick up your. Everybody want the crown, but nobody want the cross. And one comes before. So here he says, many. Somebody shout many. Many are the afflictions of who? So sometime, Brother Johnson, when you go through, it's not because you're evil. It's because you. Y'all don't want to hear that today. Y'all think, oh, that person going through, they must be evil. No, he says, many are the afflictions of the. But we change that tone by saying what? But. Every now and then you need a but in your life. When you're going negative, you need to stop and put a but change the direction of everything. I've taught y'all this, and y'all done taught me this too. You know, if you're talking negative, You need to say but, and then start saying something positive. Yeah. When you hear folk talking negative to you and about you, you need to say but. Stop right there, put a comma, mark it, but. Yeah. Let me hear the other side of that. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of what? You're going to go through some things in life, but God will deliver you because he got you even during the times of your affliction. He didn't say they would not come, and we all have to deal with them. But we all have to deal with them with the mindset and the heart, because we've been meditating on this word day and night. We've been studying it. We've been sharing it. We've been talking about it out in the marketplace. So when those times come, that word can come and be a source of comfort and strength. You're going to need this Bible one day. And it's best that you know it now, so that when that day comes, you already have something to stand on. The storms of life comes to everybody. But those whose houses are built on a solid foundation can stand. My last turn, Psalms 46. Very short, 1-3, I'm going to read of this. And I just want to close with this brief psalm, where the psalmist magnify God as the saints or our sure defense at all times. In other words, it says no matter what we go through, God is on our side and he's our sure defense. The language in this psalm is hyperbolical in nature. It's used to describe how great the pearls may be that could come in our lives. But no matter what happens, those trusting in God are safe. In other words, we find safety and courage by trusting in him who is always present to help us in our times of trouble. So he encourages us that we need not fear, even if perilous times come against us. Look what he says here in verse 40, chapter 40, Psalms 46, verse 1-3 says, God is, somebody say, God is. God is. My refuge and God is. He is the place that I can run and hide behind. He is the one that I can run to. He is my refuge. He is my hiding place. He is my protection. God is my refuge and my strength. He give me the strength to make it through what I'm going through so that I can get back out there and live like he want me to live and do the things that he want. You got to say, God is our refuge. I told you, this is one of those congregational. You see the language change here. Not God is mine, but God is. So when the church body get into a tough time, the church body have to look at this and say, God is our refuge and strength. When striving is going through, we have to say, God is our refuge and strength. Now look here. Don't y'all make me act up here. Because I said that the words say our. Now, I let y'all get away when it was personal. The Lord is my. If you didn't want to say that, that's fine. I mean, I let you go on that one because you're a dumb person. You didn't want to do it. But I ain't let you get away with our. Because by you not obeying our, you may hurt me. Because this is a corporate thing. This is a communal thing. Everybody is involved in our. Everybody ought to feel our pain. When a body, somebody in the body hurt, that's a congregational thing. Everybody feels. So when we want God to be our refuge, he got to be all of our refuge. And we all got, this was supposed to be a song, Brother Wayne. You know, they were singing this. And I'm not going to challenge y'all to sing this because I know we probably all out of key and all out of tune, all out of harmony. But you know, we can just say it. You know, in the old Baptist church, they say, you'll just repeat after me. Can I just get all of y'all, I mean, A-double-L? all of you who have breath, the Bible says all who have breath should praise. Is anybody got breath in here today? Pee-wee, you got a little breath in you today? You got a little breath, Charlie, over there? You breathing all right today, Charlie? So you got breath, right? So that means you're included in the... Now, I'm going to trust that all of y'all are going to be obedient, and I ain't going to have to go around the room and find you over there and say, oh, okay, I see you all over there. Look here, you holding us back from our blessing. Because this one ain't about you. It's about us. And since us is involved with it, I need you to do your part so that us can be blessed. Y'all follow me today? Look what he said. Now look, let's go back. Let's go to the word. Let's just follow. God is our refuge. Somebody say, God is our refuge. Say it again. God is our refuge and strength. Look here. Always ready to help in times of trouble. God is our refuge. Always. That means rain whenever you're going through in the midnight hour. Always. If it's at noonday, always. If it's at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and nobody else is there, he's always ready, Fabian, to help. Striving. Sometimes it may look like we're going through some things as a church, but we got to call out as a body that God is our refuge and strength. Always ready to help in times of trouble. Trouble times come in everybody's life, but because we got a refuge, God is always ready to help. Then he used some language here to kind of let us know, you know, just how helpful God can be. Because, you know, he comes back and just give us some natural examples, you know, to let us know that no matter what we go through, all hell can be breaking loose. We have a refuge and a place that we can go whenever trouble comes. And he's always ready to help us. Look what the psalmist said. He says, because he is our refuge in times of trouble, we will not fear when earthquakes come and mountains crumble into the sea. Good God Almighty, when you hear Finley, he said trouble gonna come. But when they come, we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. He said, now look, man, you know this next one is bold feeling. You get that bold feeling, you just say, let them come. Faith, you say, let. Y'all see that little word, let. 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 Faith, I could preach this thing out there, I said, let. Just that three little words give me confidence. He says, let the oceans roar and foam. Let them do what they do. But even in the midst of them doing what they do, I know that God got me. So let them roar. Let them foam. Let the mountains tremble and the waters surge. But God is my and strength. And he's always ready to help me when trouble comes. And so what I'm trying to tell you, you got to realize trouble will come and trouble go. But look here, you got to understand in the midst of your troubles, you got a refuge. You got a place. You got somewhere to go that you can be protected and provided for even in the midst of it. And so when you know, when we was in the hood and you had all your boys with you and you know you were bad, you tell them other boys in the other neighborhood, y'all, let them come. Now, come on. Come on. Y'all come on over here on Bamber Street. Y'all come on. Y'all come wherever you want. Come on. Because you come into a place where we got strength and we got a refuge. I got my boys with me. We ready to take you on. And so sometime in your life, when things happen, you got to be bold enough to say, let it. I want to put this God to the test that said that when they come, He will be my refuge and strength, and he is always ready to help me. Man, that's the attitude that you got to have as you navigate your way through this life. You got to have the attitude that no matter where you find yourself, God got you. And a lot of times, that got to come by the words of your mouth. You're going to have to speak faith to yourself by saying what the instruction books say and not what the situation say. The situation may say one thing, but the instruction book say something else. And I'm going to trust the in. So I hope you get this today. That no matter where you find yourself in life, God got you. In his strong and victorious hand, he got you. Amen? Y'all go back home and read that 23rd Psalm again and be blessed more by it. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise if you will. Hallelujah. Come on, we can do that with everybody. Let us praise the Lord. Let us magnify him. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. The humble shall hear of it and be glad because they see you praising God. They see you magnifying God. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name. Can everybody say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Can everybody shout hallelujah? Hallelujah? Can everybody shout hallelujah? Hallelujah? One more time for the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, we give you the highest praise on today. Every head bowed and every eye closed.